What has happened is these men, who throughout history have been trying to figure out how they can control the world, all of a sudden discovered how they could do it. In 1952, President Truman, together with the heads of state of the European nations and the Soviet Union, formed what is known as the Bilderbergers to coordinate the international efforts to protect the world from an invasion from outer space should these aliens turn out to have that as their ultimate goal. The Bilderbergers, as MJ-12 did, soon learned how to wrest power behind the scenes and use the world banking families to manipulate and leverage these nations so that they are really in control of the world, and they are headed by the 9 heads of the families that own most of the wealth of the world, known as the Round Table of 9. Under them, each nation has a group of men secretly controlling that nation. And I don't mean every nation in the world. I mean the nations that count, the hard currency nations, have an organization which is a sister organization to MJ-12 within that country's respective government. How does this work, you say? How can a secret organization such as MJ-12 control the government? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. If you will remember that President Eisenhower formed this secret group in 1954, he was the last president who knew everything. They began in 1954 to issue secret executive orders in the form of NSC memos to wrest power away from the president and effectively isolate the president. They took the power to appoint appointees in the government away from the president. And if the president wants to appoint someone whom they don't want him to appoint, they have a way of embarrassing the president to get him back into line, or getting rid of him altogether, or making sure that he doesn't get elected if he's not willing to play the game. The result has been, ladies and gentlemen, that today every major member of the United States government is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, or the Trilateral Commission, but usually the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. They usually have dual membership. Every one of them, not just a few. You see, it started off in 1954. There were just a few. Truman's years, there were hardly any. Eisenhower got in, he was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He appointed some. After that, when they took the power to appoint on themselves, they told the president who to put in those positions. And that's who got those positions. And today, the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission is the government. The government is not representing us. They are representing the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Secret World Order. Please, when you go out of this room, look it up yourself. Because if I hear from you that you don't believe it, I'm going to say, did you check on what I said? Did you go to your library? Did you pick up the bibliography that we left for you on that table? Did you go read those books? If you tell me no, I don't want to hear what you have to say anymore. Because I can bring you a message, and I can tell you what that message is. I cannot march into battle by myself. I will be literally creamed. You must be beside me as I march. As Colonel Bo Greitz marches, as John Lear marches, as Bill English marches, as any of the other true patriots in this country are marching to try to clean up our government. Because we can't even begin to deal with an alien force, because we don't have the power to make treaties. We don't have the power to make agreements. We don't even have the power to sit down and hold a discussion. We do have the power to get rid of the ones who who are not representing us and put people in who are representing us and demand that the crooks be prosecuted and get thrown in jail. We have the power to clean up our government so then our government can represent us and then we can deal with an alien question. So what I'm telling you tonight is forget about the aliens because you cannot hope to deal with them until we clean up our government. Once we clean up our government, then we can deal with the other problems. Until then, we cannot. Because you can't make a treaty for me. And you can't make a treaty for her. And I can't make a treaty for any of you. It takes our government to do that. Now, I want you to understand, I do not and never have advocated the overthrow of the United States government. I advocate the restoration of the United States government to its legal and proper place as our founding fathers laid out for us to follow. I advocate and will march and defend to the death the restoration of the Constitution of the United States of America. Because the Constitution of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, is the United States of America. We are not the United States of America. The state of Arizona and the state of Mexico, or New Mexico, is not the United States of America. All of the states and all the people together are not the United States of America. The United States of America is and only is the Constitution of the United States of America. That document is the only thing that keeps you free. That document is the only thing that gives you freedoms and guarantees them. That document is the only thing that keeps people from taking your freedom away from you, along with one of the clauses that they gave us in that document, which was the right to keep and bear arms. And I know that that issue is controversial, but let me explain to you why it is in the Constitution. In history, all throughout history, when a despot or a conqueror or a wicked person wanted to subjugate the people, if the people were unarmed, it was easy for them to do that. In fact, it was a foregone conclusion. The only thing that has prevented that from happening in the United States is the fact that most Americans throughout our history up until recently have always had at least a .22 rifle in the closet. And no one could ever successfully march against an armed population which believed in themselves. We've lost a belief in ourselves. We've lost an understanding of the Constitution. We've lost the meaning behind it. We don't understand what our country is. We don't understand what keeps us free. And the secret government is manipulating you daily into begging them to take away your freedoms. And some of you here in this room have been begging them to take away your freedoms. You've been asking them to take away your right to keep and bear arms, which is the only thing that keeps them from destroying the Constitution, declaring martial law, and forming this world order right now. The only thing preventing that is the guns in our closets. That's all, because they would have done it years ago if it had not been for that. Many of you right now in this room have been screaming for the government to take away some of our freedoms in order to get the drugs off the streets. You've been saying, I'm willing to give up some of my freedom to get rid of this terrible plague. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is your government who imports those drugs and who is selling those drugs to your children and has been from the very beginning. And the only ones that they ever catch or allow to be caught are those who are in competition with them. This operation was put into place in the late 50s, it was organized by George Bush in cooperation with the CIA while he was president and CEO of Zapata Oil. Their plan was to bring the drugs in from Central and South America to the offshore oil platforms of Zapata Oil from there to bring them into the United States by the normal crew conveyance and helicopters. Therefore, they would not have to undergo inspection by custom officials or law enforcement agencies of any kind. And it's been going on ever since. Today, the drugs do not enter this country by the little planes that they would have you believe on the 6 o'clock news, nor by the little boats that they say are speeding across the Caribbean. The Coast Guard, ladies and gentlemen, and the United States Navy are not inept. Every aircraft that approaches the borders of this country from any direction is monitored minute by minute by the North American Air Defense Command. The drugs, ladies and gentlemen, are brought into this country on CIA proprietary contract aircraft and military aircraft and land on CIA facilities in the United States and on military air bases, and Homestead Air Force Base is one of those bases where those planes land. Recently, Colonel James Bogreitz, in the last few years, went to the Golden Triangle area to try to bring back American prisoners of war who we know are still being held. We've always known it, the government has known it. They have misused the Officer of Prisoner of War, the Office of Prisoner of War Accountability, to transact these drug deals. So they don't want the prisoners of war to come home. Well, we didn't know that until Bogreitz went over there and talked to a gentleman by the name of General Kunsaw, who is the drug overlord of the Golden Triangle. I've talked extensively with Colonel Greitz about this. I have all of his information. And coupled with mine, it paints a very bad picture. General Kunsaw says that every year, government agents, high-level government agents, are purchasing 800 tons of pure heroin and shipping it into this country from him. He wants to stop it. He is willing to stop it. He wants us to give him a crop substitution program so that his people do not have to raise poppies and process heroin in order to survive. He wants to become a recognized real nation rather than an illegal group of bandits living in the jungle. And George Bush and the United States government says there is no interest in doing that here. He's willing to stop 800 tons of pure heroin from coming into this country every year. And George Bush says we're not interested in doing that here. Furthermore, we're not interested in hearing who these government officials are that he says he's selling these drugs to. Furthermore, Colonel Bogreitz, if you don't shut your mouth, we're going to lock you up in a federal prison and you're never going to get out. And they tried. You see, it was the United States government that sent Bogreitz to Southeast Asia to bring prisoners of war back. Colonel Bogreitz is the most decorated man to come out of Vietnam and one of the most decorated heroes that this country has ever had. They sent him in there because of that, and they gave him a lot of press. And every time he went in, they warned the enemy beforehand, usually by Radio Free America, in their own language, warned them by name who was coming, how they were coming, what route they were going to take, so that they would not be successful. But it made the administration look good because they were sending somebody over there to do it. But every time he went, he had to use a phony passport that the Department of Defense gave him to use to accomplish his mission. So I'm going to show you a short tape right now. I want you to pay a lot of attention to this, please.
We have the lights, Jim.
Yeah, the reflection in this matter.
Just inject.
Yeah.